We're turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're continuing, of course, our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith. We're seeing men and women who took God at His Word. And as we study this section, our goal, of course, is to be encouraged that we do the same thing as we see what Abraham did and what Abel and Enoch and Noah and Moses and Jacob, and that we want to trust in the same way, that we want to be men and women who trust God. The author of Hebrews has taken us, really, he started at the beginning. He went back to the book of Genesis and he talked about creation, and then he talked about Abel and Enoch and Noah, and then he got to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and, of course, Sarah and then Joseph, and then he moved to the book of Exodus. And that was Moses. And then after this Moses thing, we've now seen he's moving to the book of Joshua. And we're going to see what happened about the Battle of Jericho. And I think this morning, as we see this event this morning, it's another famous passage in the Bible. It's the taking of the city of Jericho. And everybody knows the song, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. And some people think it's a song. And it is a song. But it's truth. It actually happened. We're going to see in the Word of God this morning that by faith, the walls of a city fell down. And we see the great truth. And let me just tell you something, too. As we look at this passage, I think one of the things that stands out is that God's ways are different than our ways. God does things different than we would do. In fact, we'll see clearly as we look at these couple of verses we're going to see in the next couple of weeks, is we're going to see fighting the battles of life and the way of salvation, they're different. They're different than the way we would do things. Let's think about it for a second. As you look at the Word of God, we see the character of God. We've been looking in Sunday school at a study called The Names and Titles of God, and we've gone back from Old Testament to New Testament. We've looked at prophecies. We've looked at ministries. We've seen what God is like. And we think about it, and we know He's all-powerful, He's eternal, and He's everywhere, and He knows everything. But one great thing, and one thing that we do know, and that is this, that God's ways are different from our ways. Isaiah 55:9 says, as high as the heavens are the earth, so are my ways above your ways. He thinks differently. He does things differently. He doesn't do things the way we would think they should be done. I mean, think about just these things. Like in the Bible, it says, if you want to gain your life, what do? You lose it. If you want to become great, what do? You become a servant. Those who are humble or who humble themselves will be exalted. Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Think about the difference. How God's ways are different. Think about this. People say, let's look outward. We look at what a person looks like. God looks inward to the heart. People say, we got to think of these days. God says to me, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. People as a whole love conditionally. Because we say, well, after what they did to me, I'm not going to love them. We're conditional. God's unconditional. His love is unconditional. So we're going to look at two things. We're going to see in verse 30, the Battle of Jericho. And that's what we're going to see this morning. And then the next time, we're going to look at Rahab, who was saved from death. And we think about the Battle of Jericho, we see that God gives the victory, and He doesn't give the victory the way we would get the victory. We would say, well, how are you going to take that city? And we'd say, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get some soldiers, and we're going to get a whole bunch of weapons, and we're going to get one of those throwing things, and we're going to get all this, and we're going to conquer this city. But that's not the way God does it. And when we look at Rahab, and we're going to see that in a couple of weeks, and we see Rahab, how she was saved from death. And we're not talking about eternal life salvation there. We're talking about a physical death. But we're going to see how God does it and what He does. So let's think about where we are. Moses has brought the nation of Israel to the Jordan River. They're going to go into the promised land and go first to the city of Jericho. And they're going to conquer it. That's the plan. They've come to the city. Jericho is one of the oldest cities in the world. It's called the City of the Palm Trees. It's a beautiful city. I was there. I was in Israel in 1976, and we went across the Allenby Bridge, which is going from Jordan into Israel. And then the very first city you come to is Jericho, and it's a beautiful city. It still has the palm trees. But when we see this city in the Bible, we're going to see two acts of faith. By faith, the walls fell down. By faith, Rahab was delivered and saved. Let me give you the outline. Here's what we're going to do. This week, we're going to look by faith the victory. And this is what the verse says. It says, the walls fell down by faith as they circled the city seven times. We'll talk about that. Then we're going to see by faith the salvation. And it's a physical salvation talked about here. We're going to talk a little bit about eternal life salvation. But this is Rahab did not perish because she hid the spies. We'll see that in just a couple of weeks. So this morning, let's focus on Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. But before we get into that, let's think about how we do things and how God does things. Let's think about the battles of life. How do we do battle? We say, well, we've got to be ready. We've got to stand up for yourself. Listen, if you don't stand up for yourself, nobody else will stand up for yourself. It's your strength. It's your knowledge. You better get ready. Sometimes we need a lawyer. Sometimes we need to intimidate others. We need to show our power and our influence. We need to make sure we have the advantage. That's how we fight the battles of life. But God's way is different. The battle is the Lord's. When David went to fight Goliath, he said, "You come to me with a shield and a spear and strength, but I come to you in the name of the living God." And when we think about life, Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through the one who strengthens us. Thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So man way, we get ready to fight. God's way, he fights for us. What about salvation? And this is a key. And I'm talking about eternal life salvation. About a human being, a person having a relationship with God. Well, man's ways is works. You got to be good. We can go into this world. And I'm talking about the world. And the world is full of religion. And religion is man trying to do something to get to God. You can go anywhere in the world and there's religion where people say, we got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this. And you got to pray seven times. You got to do this. You got to make this. And it's all kind of deals that men do to get to heaven. We think about people say, well, you got to be good. You got to go to church. You got to get baptized. You got to be faithful. You got to do good deeds to others. That's man's way. And nobody's ever good enough. God's way is faith. God so loved the world, he gave his son, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. If you believe in him, you'll never perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It's by faith. See, if man plans salvation, we're going to do something. God plans salvation, he does it all. We come by faith. We'll see that in this section. Let's remember where we are. Okay, the nation of Israel has come into the promised land. And they're outside the city of Jericho. Jericho was a fairly good-sized city, had walls, pretty tall walls around the city. The nation of Israel's army is ready to attack the city and to take the city. The people in Jericho, they're looking out their walls, and they see all these people. And they know who they are. They know that the Jewish people, they know that they come from the God of Israel. And so they're scared, and they've got the whole city closed up. But before you get to that part where they conquer the city, there's something else you need to see. See, when Joshua led them up to the promised land, he took them as far as the Jordan River. And then Moses died, and Joshua took over. And Joshua's name is the same name as Jesus, by the way, Yeshua. And it means Jehovah is Savior. And Joshua's going to be the Savior of Israel because he's going to take them into the promised land. But when they get there, there's a problem. The Jordan River, which normally is not a very big river, is at flood stage, and they can't cross it. And they're actually saying to each other, okay, we're supposed to go in there and take the land, but how are we going to get all these people across this water? Well, watch what happens. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. Turn to the back, and that's the sixth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. And turn to Joshua chapter 3. And look at verse 5, because Joshua's going to tell the people, we're fixing to go across the river, and we're going into the promised land. Look at Joshua chapter 3, look at verse 5. He says this, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, which means set yourself apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now he had to say that, because if he said, everybody set yourself apart, because tomorrow we're going across the river, they would have all said, I don't think that's going to be possible. I mean, do you see it's at flood stage? How are we going to get across the river? How are 2 million people going to get across the river? He didn't say that. He said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And then look what he says in verse 6. This is what he says about the priest. They're going to go first. Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, you know what that is. It's the box. If you ever saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's what it looks like. It's this box. It's made out of wood. It has a golden lid on it with these two angels, these two cherubim looking at each other, these seraphim looking at each other. It's a wooden box covered over with gold, which represents the Jesus Christ. The wood represents his humanity, and the gold represents his deity. The lid is called the mercy seat. It's got those two angels. That's where God met with the people, and that's where the blood of the Messiah, the blood is poured out. So they're going to carry this thing around. So the priests come and they pick it up because it's on poles, and they pick it up and they're going to go to the Jordan River. He says, here's what I want you to do. Pick it up and cross over ahead of the people. So they picked up the ark. That's the plan. What happened? Look at verse 13. It came about when the soles of the priest, the soles of the feet of the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in a heap. Now, that's what he said to him. Listen, when the priest said, what are we supposed to do? Walk into the water? And he said, yeah, you're supposed to walk into the water. And he said, when you get there and your feet touch the water will stop. And you'll be able to stand there, and everybody will be able to cross. And you can almost see them going, wow, where's Moses? Anybody know what happened to Moses? I mean, who is this guy? Why don't we got this? Well, look what happened. Verse 14. So the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priest carrying the ark were dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of the harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose in one heap a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those who were flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. Listen, there's a place called Adam. It's about, from where they're crossing, it's about a mile up the river. It says that when the priest put their foot in the river, the water stopped, stood back at Adam, and became a wall, and the water stopped. The rest of the water just flowed on away. And where they're standing is now dry land. Look what he goes on to say. And the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while Israel crossed. All Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. The water stopped at a city called Adam. It's dry land as the people crossed. Now, if you're in Jericho and you know the river is at flood stage, you're feeling pretty good. Because you figure they can't get across. At least not now. It's going to have to be, maybe it could be a month or two before the river goes down enough for these people to cross. And then the next day you look out and there they are in your front yard. 2 million people. And so you begin to worry. Because they've now crossed the Jordan. God did a miracle. But that's not all. If you remember Hebrews 11 verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. So the Jewish people would say, we got to cross the river, but look at the city. It's a big old city. How are we going to do this? The passage in Hebrews says that the walls fell down after it'd been encircled for 7 days. What's going to happen? Well, let's turn to Joshua chapter 6, just a few pages on up in your Bible, and let's see what happened. Most of you know the story. There may be some details that you haven't thought about. There may be some things you haven't seen. Joshua chapter 6, look at verse 1. Now Jericho was shut up tightly because of the sons of Israel. No one went in and no one went out. Once the people in Jericho saw that the Jewish people had come across the river, they said, close the doors, close everything up. Nobody comes in, nobody goes out. Get all the soldiers ready. We've got to be ready. These people are going to attack our city. That's what they thought. They knew all about Israel. Something that may surprise you, I want to read this to you. This is back in chapter 2 when some spies had talked to a woman named Rahab. We're going to see her next week or next time. But here's what she said. She said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land. She's talking to two Jewish spies. I know the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen upon all of us, and we've all melted away. Here's why. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. We heard it. Our hearts melted. There is no courage remaining in any man any longer because of you. And here's what she says. For the Lord your God, he is God of heaven above and earth below. Now this woman said, We're all afraid. We know who you are. We know who your God is. We know your God's not a local God. See, we got local gods. We got gods that we set up over here, and sometimes they fall over, and we have to set them back up, and we got all kind of things. But your God is the God of the heavens and of the earth. Your God is the God, and we know that, and we know what he did 40 years ago. You understand, when she said, we know how he dried up the water in Egypt, that was 40 years ago, and they still know about this. And so she said, I know, we've all melted. We're all scared. We're all looking over at you. So they're getting ready to take the city. Look at verse 2. Joshua 6, verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho. I've given Jericho into your hand with its kings, with its king and valiant warriors. Now, if you said to Joshua, do you think you're going to win? He said, of course we're going to win. God said we're going to win. See, that's by faith. By faith, God said, you will take the city. Joshua says, we're going to take the city. And we think about our lives. We have the Word of God, which tells us truths and principles, and he'll never leave us or forsake us, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and all of these verses and passages that we live by, and we can take them as true. We can say, if you say it, I believe it. Now, let's talk about something. How would we take the city? You have 2 million soldiers. You have really 2 million people, but when they counted them all up, I think at one time there were 603,000 fighting men. 603,000 fighting men. What would you do? Well, you'd say, listen, we're going to get in two or three places, and we're going to attack the city, and we're going to throw stuff over, and we're going to hit the walls, and we're going to knock things down, and we're going to tear it up. We're going to starve the people out. We're going to shoot things in there. We're going to go after the city. But you know what? The Bible says this. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to who? To the Lord. Psalms 20, verse 7. Some boast in chariots, and some boast in horses. But we boast in the name of the Lord, the eternal God, our God. So I want you to think about this, that God's plan is not what we would do. We've got all kinds of soldiers out there, and they have defeated already in battles a guy by the name of Og and another guy by the name of Sihon. And they're the two most powerful kings on the east side of the Jordan River, and the Jewish people have already defeated them completely. So you think we can get Jericho? Of course we can get Jericho. It's going to take a little bit because they got walls and everything, but we can get them. But God doesn't say, okay, get everybody ready, get the swords out, and we're going to attack the city. That's not what he says. He has a plan. And here's his plan. Have the men march around the city once and then do this for 6 days. Look at verse 3 of chapter 6. He said, you shall march around the city, all of the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do this for 6 days. What? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get around the city. We're going to pit the soldiers. What we're going to do is we're going to have some priests in the front, and they've got trumpets. Then we're going to have the Ark of the Covenant. Then we're going to have some other priests with trumpets. And then we're going to have all the soldiers lined up. And we're going to go up to Jericho, and then we're going to go around the city. We're just going to march around the whole city. And the priests are going to blow the trumpets, but I don't want any of the people saying a word. And we're going to do that for 6 days. We're going to go around it one time, and then we're going to come back to the camp and eat. You know, and then we'll get up the next morning, and we'll go around, and we'll come back. And we're going to do that for 6 days. Powerful. Look at verse 4. He says, also the priests, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of the ram's horn before the ark. Then on the 7th day, they'll march around the city 7 times, and the priests will blow the trumpets. Now, when you get to the 7th day, you're going to march around it 7 times without stopping, and the priests are going to blow the trumpets. And when they make this long blast, verse 5, with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people will shout a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up straight ahead. Every man will go fight. Now, if you're a soldier, you're saying, so what you're telling me is this. We're going to get in a line, and we're going to march around the city and come back, and then 6 days we're going to do that. On the 7th day, we're going to march around 7 times, and then the priests are going to blow the trumpet real loud. When they blow the trumpet real loud, all of us shout real loud, and the walls are going to fall down. And then we go straight in and conquer the city. And Joshua says, well, that's what God said to do. How do you feel about that? if you were a soldier, you'd have said, this doesn't make that much sense to me, because, I mean, we just defeated Og and Sihon. We can defeat this guy. We can defeat these people. If you're on the walls of Jericho and you're soldiers and you see them coming and you say, they're coming, what are they doing? Well, they got some people blowing trumpets. And then they march around and you watch them march around the city and they go back home and they do that for 6 days. On about the fifth day, you're going, well, they're probably just going to march around the city and go back. Yeah, that's what they did. Sixth day, they march around the city and they go back. And you say, I guess that's kind of what they're into. You know, maybe they like that sort of thing. I don't know. But on the seventh day, they're marching around and they're marching around and they're marching around seven times. What does the world say? Protect yourself. Get ahead. Don't let anybody run over you. Don't let them see you sweat. Get what you want any way you can. God says, trust me. Trust me. Live by the word of God. Well, what happened? Look at verse 6. They went and did what he said. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let the seven priests carry the seven trumpets of the ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. Then he said to the people, go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the ark of the Lord. And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came up after the ark, and they continued to blow the trumpets. Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard. Don't let a word come out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shout. So he had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, encircling it once, and they came back into the camp and spent the night. Look at verse 14. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. Now, humanly speaking, we'd say, that doesn't look like the way you're supposed to win a battle. It doesn't look like the way you're going to conquer a city. And do you really think that a bunch of shouting will knock walls down? I mean, what if we got in here and said, listen, Stephen's going to get up here. We're going to get trumpets. We're going to make as much noise as possible. We're going to all shout, and we're going to see if the walls will fall down. We would say, well, that's pretty stupid, you know, right? So if you're a soldier, you're thinking, do you really think that just by us shouting, the walls are going to fall down? See, when we live for Christ, sometimes things don't add up in the way that we think they would. Because the Bible says, give away. It says, when you get something, give away. In fact, Jesus said, it's more blessed to what? What did he say? It's more blessed to what? Give than receive. See, the world says, get as much as you can get. The Bible says, whenever you get something, give it away. Give things away to people. The Bible says, look out for others. The world says, look out for yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, who's going to take care of you? But the Bible says, put others first. So let's see what happened. Look at verse 15. Then on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city in the same manner seven times. By the way, the city's big. To think about walking and marching all the way around the city one time, that would take a while. They're going to do it seven times. That's why they got up really early that day. Okay? At the seventh day, they rose at the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city in the same manner, and they did it that time seven times. And on the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And look what happened, verse 20. They did it. Verse 20, so the people shouted and the priest blew the trumpet, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell flat down. It fell down flat so that the people went into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both men, man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. They took the city. God gave the victory, but not the way we would get the victory. It's not the way we think. Turn back to Hebrews 11. This passage says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled 7 days. How do we gain the victory day in and day out? How do we live the Christian life? Is it the ways of the world or is it God's way? Is it living by the scripture or living by the world? People say, well, good guys finish last. No, they don't. No, they don't. In God's plan, they finish first. How do we live? John 15:5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13 says, in me, you can do all things. How do we live in God's power? How did they live? How do we live? Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. We live in the power of God based on the Word of God. I always say that the Christian life is a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. I want you to think of a contrast. The world says, look out for yourself. And God says, look out for others and treat them with more importance. The world says, we can do it, our strength. God says, you can do it. I can do it through you. You know, sometimes I watch sports guys. I like sports, and sometimes somebody will do something great, and they interview them right afterwards. You know, they've hit the home run, or they scored a touchdown, or they did all the points in the game and something, and they'll interview them. And sometimes they'll say things like, I just want to start off by thanking God, and I want to thank my teammates. And sometimes they'll say, well, I knew I had to do it, and I knew my teammates had to depend on me, and I just knew I had to win. I knew I could do it, and I knew I just had to think that way and go do it. Which guy would you rather have on your team? God says, it's not you. It's me through you. Anything you've ever done is God's power through you. When you teach the Bible, when you share your faith, when you reach out to someone, when you prepare a meal, when you teach those children, when you do that, that's God through you. And it's never, look what I did. It's, look what God did through me. I have to tell you this story. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was 19, I was in college, and there was a guy named Nap Clark who actually helped lead me to Christ and everything. And so I got all fired up. I mean, I was really excited. And this was like in February, March. And so I had this friend, and we would go to the library at Delta State. And I was bold in those days. I wish I was bold now. And I would go up to people at their desk. They're sitting there studying in the library, and I'd go, hey, can I ask you a question? They'd say, what? If you were to die, would you go to heaven? Man, I was telling people about Christ. And sometimes people trusted Christ and everything. And I remember one night we came back, and my friend named Ray Bridges and I, we lived in an athletic dorm, and Nap stayed there a lot and was always with us. We came back from the library, and I saw Nap. And I went, Nap said, where y'all been? I said, hey, Nap, we've been over at the library saving people. And Nap went, JB, you're not saving people. Jesus is saving people. You're just getting to tell them the truth. And see, anything we do, it's not us. It's God through us. See, the world's way is, it's my strength. God's way, it's God's through us. Think about this one. This is a big one. See, the world's way says, if somebody does you wrong, someday down the line, you're going to get them back somehow. Because they can't get away with this. God says, listen, if somebody does you wrong, do good. Leave the vengeance to God. See, they don't ever get away with it. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If somebody does you wrong and does you bad, you don't have to get them back. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. The world says, get them back. God says, you just do good. Do good to all men. Leave it to me. In the battles of life, it's not our power, our intelligence, or our plans. It's God. God's power through us. It's a walk of faith. So as we think about this, let's trust God in the battles of life. I mean, we have to trust him. We have to live by the word. Think about this. His ways are different than our ways. I mean, he tells us to live by the Bible, where a lot of people in the world make fun of the Bible. He tells us to live by the values and the truths that are found in the scripture. And the world says, we don't believe any of that. So his ways are different than the world's. And his ways are different even than ours. And we need to live by the scripture. Live by the word. The second thing is, just remember this, we live in God's strength. It's not our strength. It's God through us. Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through who? The one who strengthens you. is Jesus Christ. The Christian life, a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. I love this little right here in this passage that says, he does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord favors those who fear him. That means who trust him, who are in awe and respect of him, those who wait for his loving kindness. That word loving kindness is a Hebrew word, chesed, which means a loyal, unchanging love. Never changes. The Lord favors those who trust in him, who wait for his love, his kindness, his strength. As we go out these doors, we're in a battle, the battles of life. And we must trust God's ways to live, not our ways, not the world's ways. Trust in him. He's our strength and our shield.